Previously.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Everybody,
welcome to another family, fun-filled edition of Plumbo Foods Live, right here on Spreaker Radio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Carrier Pigeon, Smoke Signals, you name it, that's where we are. Of course, you can find us everywhere. And guys, thank you very much for all the downloads. We do appreciate it. Please rate, review, and subscribe. That's how we get this show to you free once a week with all of our amazing guests, sometimes mediocre guests, but amazing guests. And of course, our wonderful, wonderful co-hosts who have been joining us lately, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tonight, I would like to play the best around, but I can't because, well, Dave's not joining us tonight. Dave is a little under the weather tonight, so he's sitting at home handling his business, which is totally fine. We understand. I hope he gets well. Hope he feels better. He'll be back next week, no doubt about it. But in the meantime, I'm joined by a friend of the show, another good brother, one of my best buddies in the world out there this summer, helped me get through the hard times, the one and only chef, Rob Prieto. Robbie, good evening, brother. How are you?
Good evening, chef. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Listen, I'm impressed with how quickly we figured out all of your technical things on your end, because you're not much of a technical guy.
I used to be, man. The older I get, I can't do it anymore.
I feel like age is coming up a lot these days when it comes to me and people. Like, I feel like all we do is talk about age.
It's because we're getting old, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't want to be old. At what age is it you think that you actually finally can say or officially say, yes, you know what, I'm old? What is that number? Do you know?
Well, I think for me it was 3 kids in a restaurant.
That would make total sense. Yeah, I think the 3 kids thing definitely can get you every time, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I also feel like a restaurant equals 3 kids, so.
All right, well, that's true. A restaurant may be like having your own 3 kids and having 3 more kids in the real world, right?
Yeah, I'm in like the Brady Bunch scenario right now.
Jeez. So what's your story, man? Last we talked to you was early over the summer. You were about to open up and get crazy busy there and get ready for a good season out there in Montauk. Man, how'd it go for you?
We had a good season. It was, good team. And, I got to do some fun stuff with you, which was great. That, the 21 guests for Whalebone on the beach. Yeah, that was really good times. And, I got to do some other corporate catering over the summer. And, we had a decent season at the hotel. And just looking forward to wrapping up and, doing some private stuff over the winter and figuring out what's next for next season.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we did out there with Whalebone, Whalebone, for those of you guys who don't know, it's a big magazine and media company out in the East End, which is the Hamptons and whatnot. And, they have a great magazine. They do a lot of promotional type things. Very popular, publication, but they have a lot of good connections. And one of the things that we got to do that was really fun was do a dinner out there. And they were partnered with, of all people, was it Lululemon? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And the funny part was, when I think of Lululemon, I definitely think of Chef Rob and myself, because that's two people who should be representing Lululemon. They make yoga pants, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, but they have a sense of humor about it, man.
I mean,
their most popular, their most popular men's pants are called ABC pants, which is anti-ball crush.
Okay.
So I think that works. I'm all about having, my junk not being crushed.
Well, I'd rather your junk not get crushed either, whatever that's worth.
Are you saying you like your junk crushed?
I'll take whatever I can get. I've been married for a long time with three kids, so whatever attention is, I'll take it.
All right.
Listen, but it brings up a good question, man, because you and I both kind of do the same sort of work in the off season specifically. How do you go about marketing yourself? How do you go about getting yourself out there for the off season?
Well, I'm very excited about talking to Rev tonight because I am clearly not as good at it as most people.
Well, so definitely a great guy to talk to. He's a marketing genius, that's for sure. He's gone so far in his marketing to get attention. He's actually faking. He's in the hospital right now. He did a whole gimmick where he's acting like he's got broken bones. Very pro wrestling. It's amazing. He's got broken bones. He's in a rehab center. I'm not sure if it's real or fake. I'm pretty sure it's fake. But what a great technique to get attention, right?
Wait, so he's there's nothing wrong with him?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, I hope he's requesting lots of sponge baths then.
I hope he is too. No, he actually is hurt, I'm sure. As I said that, I'm pretty sure he probably was screaming into his phone right now. He's like, what are you talking about? But yeah, it's always good to talk to these guys, especially guys like Rev, who understand, you know, kind of just what it means to get your name out there to do things in this business. So, you know, Rev is a great guy. I'm excited to have him on the program. He and I became buddies judging some wings together. We've eaten many a chicken wing together. And I haven't seen him in a bit because he's been so busy. He's working with Yext. He's going to tell us all about that. So I can't wait to have him on here and talk a little bit more with him.
I'm just checking out his Instagram account, and I would like to hang out and eat some food with this guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude, but we got to get him out east. You know, that's the problem. Guys like him, they stay in the city. They never come out east.
We don't have stuff like this. Why would he come out and see us?
Because we got to make stuff like that happen. That's the point.
I can put Cheetos on chili and fries.
Those are fire Cheetos, too, I'm guessing.
Yes.
That's right. So we'll get Rev on here in a few minutes, but I do want to talk a little bit really quick, you guys, about this past week. I'm not sure, you know, because you didn't live around in the area. You do actually get this particular radio station out in the Hamptons, which is a lot of fun. But Star 99.9, our friends Anna and Raven, I was on their morning show all week last week. They were one of the hosts was complaining about all the squirrels they had in his yard, Rob. He was like, I got too many squirrels. What do I do with all these squirrels? And someone had made a phone call to them and said, well, you should shoot them, and you can eat them. Well, I heard that, so I called in, and I was like, hey, guys, and they were like, Chef, what's up? And I was like, if you get me a squirrel, I'll come in there and make it for you three different ways. Well, this past Friday, I was there at Anna and Raven's show, and it's all over the Instagram Live. It was a lot of fun, and we made squirrel three different ways. And the funny part was, Robbie, I did one of them inside of an air fryer to be healthy.
I did not see that part of the show. I did watch some of it. It was quite awesome.
Yeah.
I myself have eaten squirrel as well.
It's not bad.
No, it's a lot like any of your small game,
right?
Like a rabbit or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I found that it's better, you know, depending on what the squirrel's eating, the squirrel tastes better.
You know, I did a beautiful salad out of one with some local greens I had. Then I did one that was I did a taco out of one of the backside saddles. And I took the other saddle and I seared it off in a pan and did a beautiful roast fingerling potato with a fennel and apple mint salad on top of it. It was delicious.
Well, how could it be? How could it not be with that salad?
It sounds great, right?
Yeah, man.
The funny part of the situation was is that their corporate people there were hysterical. They were afraid. They didn't want them to podcast it. They didn't want them to put it up on their website. They were afraid that PETA was going to intervene. So I guess they got some people angry at them on social media for doing it. But I was like, listen, we got to go through with it. We have to do it. And
that would have been awesome if PETA. I would have came and helped you trap them.
Oh. Absolutely. I was like, dude, if it becomes a big deal, we have to talk about it. So, but unfortunately, it went on social media. It didn't get any other mainstream attention. I kind of wish it did, but it was really fun to do, and those guys are great.
That's amazing, man.
I mean, what a chance, right? A local radio. I got to give them credit for doing something a little bit out of the box like that.
That is you were the perfect person to do that.
And I played with them. I played it straight the whole time too, brother.
Yeah, that's.
Well, you know,
I saw it. It looked like you had like an induction burner or something on like a stack of magazines. I was like, he's going to burn the place down.
Well, you know, it was. We don't want to worry about what I had there as far as fire. We don't need anybody getting upset about that. But let's just say I had different ways to cook it. That's all that matters. And the segment came out great. It tasted delicious. But I don't think we'll be doing that again anytime soon. But it was fun.
it was amazing. From what I saw of it, it looked like a good time.
Nice. Joined tonight, you guys, by our good friend Chef Rob Prado, sitting in the night for our buddy Dave, who is out a little under the weather tonight. Much love to him. Hope he's feeling better. I'll talk to him soon. But a lot of fun tonight. We got a great guest on here, brother. A really great guest. Really good brother. Rev's been on here before. It was a while ago. Rev and I met, like I said, at the New York Best Wings Festival. We've done several of those. We've done things at the Bacon and Beer Classic, big festivals together. He's a great guy to hang out with. Rev is a director of industry and insights for Yext. He's a marketing guru, a burger icon, and more. You can follow him at Rev Ciancio. That's Ciancio on all social media, where you find food porn, restaurant recommendations, and lots of marketing tips, especially for restaurants. Ladies and gentlemen, my good buddy, the one, the only, Mr. Rev Ciancio. Rev, good evening, brother. How are you?
Mr. Plum, how are you?
I'm rock and roll, baby. You know, listen, I didn't mean to give up your gimmick there. I told everybody that your social was down, so you ran the whole gimmick, how you got hurt. You're in the hospital now. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm bummed you brought me on just a little too late. Kane just awoke in here, And Mr. Sacco and McFoley and Stone Cold left about 10 minutes ago.
I get your reference. Robbie, do you have his reference or no? I remember that.
I do. His WWE or SmackDown.
Did you hit somebody with the urinal pan? Oh, I forget what they call those things. That's what happened in the 90s. The bedpan in the 90s. That was a weapon. I remember that. Rev, dude, we got to talk before we get into everything. You legit are like crippled and in a place, man. What happened to you?
You know, I wish the story was really awesome, like I'd done something heroic or, you know, really insane or crazy or, you know, super food oriented, but
burning building, totally... save some babies.
Yeah, but it is literally like the lamest thing that anybody has ever done. Just at a point in my life where I was starting to actually be excited to have a lawn and do lawn care. I'm not to age myself.
All right.
I was mowing my lawn,
right?
And my property, the house I own, it's at the end of a hill. So like to get to my lawn, you have to walk up four steps. It's like elevated. So anyway, on the side of either side of my lawn is a retaining wall. And I was standing on the retaining wall, pulling my mower along the edge. And I was listening to some Pantera. It was a hot day and I lost my footing. And there's like four like levels to the retaining wall. I stumbled down all four of them. At the bottom of the last one, my neighbor had like an empty planter, and I literally put my foot smack down in the middle of the planter. I spun, shot forward into his driveway, and landed on my palms. I mean, it was probably looked like a deleted scene from a Naked Gun movie the way I fell. You know, it was totally Larry Moe and Curly. But I'm laying in the driveway. And, you know, my
I'm head playing sound effects where you can't hear it, but I'm playing. People are cheering right now. They're very excited about the story.
My headphones are still on. It might have been Black Sabbath at that moment, and I'm just like, I'm screaming because it hurts so bad. My driveway. My wife can't hear me. She's inside watching TV with the kid. There's nobody outside. Nobody can hear me. I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I don't know where my phone is. I can't open my eyes because I'm so filled with pain. And all of a sudden, I look up and there's two policemen standing over me.
Okay, wait, we got to stop right there because we got to dig a little bit here. So, where was most of the pain coming from?
My ankle. Oh, that my ankle.
So one ankle was really hurting the most, even though I mean I know all your injuries, we haven't gotten into them yet, but one ankle was really hurting badly.
Oh my God, I never felt so much pain. Never.
You knew you couldn't stand up.
Yeah, the cops were like, who are you? You know, I was cognizant. I knew who I was. And I was like, get my wife that house. And my wife comes out. She's screaming. My two-year-old's screaming. I'm screaming. Whatever. Long story short, they just picked me up right there on the spot. Pantera still in my ears.
Nice.
Put me in the ambulance and took me to the hospital. And I have not been home since. That was Labor Day.
Wow. So what were the injuries?
So I fractured.
And wait, how far was the fall? Are we talking 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet?
Well, so the retaining wall at his height is like 4 feet, but like I said, I stumbled down the levels.
Okay.
So I like jumped a level foot, jumped a foot, jumped a foot, and then the last one was probably 2 or 3 feet. So it wasn't super high, but yeah. It was all cement.
I mean, thank God the lawnmower didn't fall on you.
Dude, scariest moment of my life. I'm laying there. I'm screaming. I've never felt so much pain. Ozzy's in the ear screaming. Tony Iommi's guitar is bleeding into the other ear. And I look up, and there's half a lawnmower sticking out over the edge of the wall. And I literally is like, what 1980s horror movie am I in? That is about to shoot down on top of me and remove my, you know, outer casing. Like all I could see is that, you know, that lawnmower just landing on me, you know, deleted scene from, you know, whatever.
Wow.
What was the AC/DC one where the machines came alive?
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive, yeah, yes. Yeah. Emilio Estevez, that's one of his finest movies.
That's what came to mind with that description.
Definitely. Yeah, it was. What was the early Peter Jackson movie where everybody gets that crazy Zingaya? And the guy attacks the other guy with the lawnmower? Never mind. Anyway.
Wait, what movie was that? Hold on. Whatever, okay, sorry. Injuries, you get to the hospital, you're in immense pain, you're screaming, Tony Iommi's still bleeding the guitar in your ear, they haven't yet taken your headphones out, your wife's there, the baby's there, what happens?
The movie is Dead Alive, by the way, anyway.
Ooh, I remember that movie.
Do you remember the part where he attacks the guy with he gets bitten by the virus, and then he attacks him with the lawnmower?
God, I'd have to go back and watch it, man.
That's what was going on. Anyway, whatever. So I get to the hospital. I'm still screaming in pain. I'm like, just give me anything. And finally, they gave me some meds and did some x-rays and whatever. And so, long story short, I fractured my right wrist right at the base of my hand. I fractured my pinky, the base of my pinky finger in my left palm. I fractured the bottom of my wrist on my left hand. And then I have a calcaneal fracture in my ankle.
God, calcaneal. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's something to do where you turn into a wolf after midnight if you don't eat enough.
That's insane. So just from falling that little bit of a distance, you really hurt yourself pretty bad.
Yeah, the first couple days, I mean, look, this hasn't been easy, but the first couple days were really, really rough because they put these huge splints on both of my arms and this huge splint on my leg. And I literally, like, I couldn't even get out of, they moved me to a nursing home, which is where I currently am, but I couldn't even get out of my bed by myself. Like, I couldn't even, like, plug in my phone to charge it. Like, I literally couldn't do anything. Over time, you know, they gave me different splints and they took things off and whatever, and I've adapted. But, like, those first two or three days, oh my God, you don't realize how much of your life requires all four limbs.
Wow. And Robbie, I just want to point out, Rev has your daughter's two now, right?
Son.
He's son, two and sorry, half. Sorry. 2.5 years old. So he has a 2.5-year-old that's home with his wife. And so when you fall down, you get hurt, and you're in the hospital, and they tell you all these things have happened. Is your wife like, no, stop it. Come on. He didn't hurt that bad.
No. Kara has been amazing. She's been a saint if definable. She's been super supportive. I mean, I really did. We're having a laugh about it here, and I've had a good smile on my face, but I really did mess myself up.
Yeah.
And I really, for a while, I needed 24-hour care. I'm at a point now where they're actually going to send me home in 2 days. So, but she's actually had it, you know, way harder than me in some regards because she's at home alone.
Of course.
It's her and the kid. He's got sick twice. She got sick once. You know, he's a 2.5-year-old boy. So everybody that's ever had a 2.5-year-old boy, you know what that hurricane is like.
Robbie knows.
Yeah, I mean, you have three girls, so it's probably still like that.
But. Oh, it's a nightmare, to be honest with you. Right now, talk. All they do is talk.
Yeah. But I mean, look, she's been amazing. I feel terrible for what she's had to go through because it's just really hard to be, you know, a parent by yourself. And
the
kid doesn't necessarily, like, he's been really cool about it and he gets it to a certain degree. But, you know, like, he'll call me, they'll call me on FaceTime and he'll go, Daddy, what are you doing? Did you hurt yourself? And I'm like, yes. So that's been hard. But anyway.
Well, you're about to go home, so that's got to be kind of nice. You get to go home. I mean, I'm guessing you're not walking yet totally, or no?
Well, the reason they're sending me home, not to be like, hey, Rev, tell us all your medical records, but I was getting an IV of antibiotics 3 times a day because I got a really bad case of cellulitis on the same leg. It's terrible, man. But it's done. I don't need the IV anymore, so I don't need, like, the 24-hour care. Right. So anyway, I go home. A week later, I can actually start using crutches, so I don't necessarily have to be in a wheelchair all day. But then they still have to do surgery, and then it's probably 8 to 9 weeks recovery after that.
Yeah, man, you have to do surgery in there. That's, are they putting, like, steel in your ankle or no?
Yeah, I mean, I asked them, like, for the full Bionic Man casing, and they're like, your insurance won't cover it, so we're just going to put a pin in your foot. But I'm going to pretend like I can jump real high or something now.
Yeah, you should totally do that. I would act like there's some more going on there. Like, can you see your son? You should, like, they changed me around a little bit, son. I don't know.
Well, dude, you're like, man, cyborg?
Yeah, right. I feel bad for you, brother. Thank God you're okay. Seriously, I'm glad you're not worse off and worse for wear. But Having you hurt and laid up in a nursing home actually is how I can get you on the air tonight, which is great. So I take that as a positive.
It worked out. I'm here partying with my can of Sprite and my hemp cookies. So.
A can of Sprite. How many cookies have you had so far?
I've had two, but I'm afraid to eat the rest of these cookies, man.
You got to get in there, brother. You got to get in there.
I don't. You know, I played with some drugs earlier in my life, but I just that's not having that chapter's way gone. But
yeah.
I got these as a gift, like these hemp extract cookies, and they sounded good. And I pop one in. I look in the back. It says, "We suggest starting with a serving of 5 bites with 25 milligrams of hemp extract. We encourage you to increase or decrease your dose as needed to find your desired effect." I'm like, "Yo, man, I'm not eating these cookies."
That's great. Joined tonight by the one and only Rev Ciancio. He's a director of industry and insights, a director of industry insights for Yext, a marketing guru, a burger icon, and more. You can follow him at Rev Ciancio on all social medias. Highly recommend his Instagram. It's hysterical. And you'll find food porn, restaurant recommendations, and lots of marketing tips, especially for restaurants. Now, Rev, have you been able to work laid up in the nursing home? Like, are you able to like do your job still or no?
Is the one reason why I'm not completely bonkers at this point is I've had use of my hands, right. Not my wrists, but my hands. And I asked my doctor on like the second day here, is like, can I please sit at a computer and type things and make phone calls? Yes. So I've been working the whole time I've been here, which was actually way bigger of a challenge than I thought it would be. Yeah. Way bigger.
I can imagine, man. It's got to be tough, especially when you're sitting there and just, I mean, yeah, I'm sure the Wi-Fi is great in the nursing home. And you know, here comes Edna in. She wants to know what's Rev doing in here. She rolls in there in a wheelchair and wants to watch Judge Judy with you and whatever. I'd have the worst pictures ever in my brain.
You're not incorrect.
Well, look.
But, like, really, like, I'd be sitting there, you know, I found this little area that, like, nobody was using. It had a couple tables, and it was, you know, a nice, you know, lighted area. And I just took it over and just started calling it my office. But, like, you know, I'd be on a conference call, and my doctor would show up and want to talk to me. Or, you know, I'd be time for a conference call, and like, okay, it's time for your IV. And it's like, I can't change some of that stuff. And then, like, no joke, it gets crazy in here some nights. I'm gonna read a couple quotes. A couple nights ago, I'm laying in bed, right? Okay. I'm just like watching Netflix or whatever, just trying to like bug out. And I hear, I have her. I'll have her killed. All I have to do is make a call. And I'm like, yo, what is going on in the nursing home? And my neighbor, the lady who's next to me, she's like this nice, quiet old lady, probably in her 90s. And then like every other night, something sets her off and she just goes like gangster. She's screaming. She's a pig. She pees in the wastebasket. Oh, the cops in here. You don't have to help them to go to the bathroom, and I'll just have her killed. Don't make me put a chain around her.
Oh my like, God.
Screaming. And I'm like, what is going on in the old folks' home?
So you've met my grandmother.
wonder who she voted for.
So sometimes your grandmother interrupts my Skype calls.
That's great. That's great. How come you haven't put your phone and recorded this stuff happening? This would be amazing content.
It just you can't control what happens. You don't know when it's going to go down. But
I mean, the second she's yelling about putting a chain and peeing in a wastebasket, I'm grabbing my phone and hit record. This is amazing.
I was probably editing a photo of pizza at the time, so you know,
jeez.
Choices.
Well, the last time we had you on the program, man, here you were working with Schweid and Sons, a fantastic meat company, which you know, I worked long and hard to get their products into my grocery store, and they're there. But you're not there anymore, and now you're working with Yext, man. Talk about Yext and what you guys do over there.
It's pretty cool. So Yext is a software company, and they created a software that takes it allows businesses to take all the public facts about their business. We call that digital knowledge. And a public fact would be like their name, address, phone number, their hours of operation, their services, what credit cards they take. You know, if you're a restaurant, your menu. Basically, anything that somebody could search online for a business, and they organize it all over the internet. So you log into Yext, you put in your name, address, phone number, hours of operation, menu, and now you're in control of that information and updating Yelp, Google, Bing, Yahoo, Foursquare, Alexa, Siri, Google Home, and hundreds of other places all to push up a button. And so the benefits are, A, you have control of your information, right? B, it doesn't matter where a customer is looking for your information. They need their address. They need what time you're open. They need what's on your menu. The customer's always met with the correct information. And the last benefit of that is the way that all of the search engines work. And when I mean search engines, I don't just mean Google. I also mean Yelp or Foursquare or anywhere you can look for business. Is they rely on a system of structured data. And the more accurate that data is across the internet, the higher the signal of confidence they have that their information is correct. So, by example, if you own a pizza shop, or you know, let's say you own a squirrel barbecue restaurant, and I look on Yelp and your hours of operation are different than they are on Google, and I go to Google and look up your hours of operation, you're not giving a very strong signal to Google that your squirrel shop's gonna be open at 9 a.m. on Monday. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's what it does. And then, you know, there's a lot of other layers to the software. It allows you to manage your public reputation online. It allows you to get a lot of really important analytics and sentiment data out of your reviews. And it basically, like, puts you in control of your digital footprint as a business.
Man, that's kind of cool if you think about it, because that stuff can get all kinds of convoluted and mixed up across different places, right?
It is way easier for it to get screwed up than you think it is.
Let me ask you, though. So it's interesting because I was having this conversation today. I mean, do people still use like websites and using SEOs and stuff? Or is it more, you know, Facebook, Instagram, that sort of thing? Because I even have private clients now, Rev, ask me to see my Instagram account. They say, hey, what's your Instagram, before they'll hire me?
Man, I didn't even have to send you our first call deck and you're asking all the right questions. So, you know, how did the internet work for the last 20 years? You put in a search query, you get 10 blue links, you click when you go, right?
Right,
that's
exactly
how the internet works. Not anymore. There's like a massive shift. And all these other places that a business's data can live, like Foursquare, Facebook, or Instagram, or Yelp, or whatever, people are, they're 73% more likely to find information about a business on those third parties than they are the business's own website.
Right.
And forget it. If it's hospitality, you are 10 times more likely to make a decision about going to a restaurant on Yelp or Bing or Yahoo or Alexa or any of these places than you are their own website.
And the trouble with Yelp, man, is Yelp is one of those websites that, you know, as a chef, as a person in the industry, we hate Yelp. I mean, Yelp is garbage. Yelp, I mean, people can go on there. There's no policing of it, basically, I guess is my point. They can shit on you and say bad things about you, even if you, you know. If my ex-girlfriend from the ninth grade that I broke up with came to my restaurant and realized it was me, she'd write a bad Yelp review for me, you know?
I don't necessarily share those feelings about Yelp. I actually think that Yelp is an incredibly powerful tool for marketing, especially for restaurants. And the ones that feel that way haven't taken the time to learn how to use it.
Okay, so there's more to it.
No, you know what? I actually had the same feelings as Plum, and over the last season have found that they have definitely updated what they're doing, and it is a better thing. I didn't like that they would call me 9 million times for, you know, to sign me up or to get me to give them some money, but other than that, once I had a restaurant, it didn't work for my private chef business, but for the restaurant it was an asset.
Interesting.
I'm sending you a virtual high five there, Rob.
Oh.
No, but like, yeah, one of the things they did and people don't quite understand this is like Yelp realized that situation can happen. Oh, I hate that guy. I'm going to go, you know, 1 out of 5 stars their business. And what Yelp realized is there was a number of people that were doing that or had like nefarious intentions. And so Yelp, and I don't know the exact details, but basically what they do is until you have reviewed X amount of businesses, they kind of don't count your review towards that business.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So you have to have, it might be 5, don't quote me, but it's definitely, I understand the concept, I don't remember the numbers. But basically, you have to have a certain amount of reviews for Yelp to look at you as a valued person in the Yelp community.
Does it still show up, though?
It does, if you but do it's like a back page. And I got one from the guy who had my spot previously. He logged on and wrote a crappy review about my spot because he was bitter that he no longer had the spot. And it ended up being back paged. It didn't last very long. And when I called about it, they said you can't just write negative reviews. You have to have a certain amount of positive and you know, like biased reviews. Like they they do pretty. They have a pretty good algorithm system going, and you know,
not bad.
They're trying to help people more than hurt them.
And ladies and gentlemen, just so you guys didn't know, the brand new director of sales for Yelp, Chef Rob Prado, he just took a job there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear, man, because I've always worried about things like Yelp, Rev. I got to be honest with you, man. Like, what Robbie's talking about is definitely makes me happier. I've never even bothered with it as a private chef or as a caterer because I just don't think it makes much of a difference, but maybe it does.
I mean, I'm not an expert at that granular of a level, but I can tell you for a brick-and-mortar restaurant or even any business, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and here's the secret. Here's the absolute secret of Yelp. If you take time to manage your public reputation, especially on Yelp, you will be rewarded with positive increase in your ratings and reviews.
Okay.
Right. There's a correlation. I think it's like businesses that reply to at least 10% of the reviews. On average, you'll see a 0.1 star lift, and businesses that reply to between 60 and 80% of the reviews are almost guaranteed to get like a 0.3% lift, 0.3 star rating.
Even on positive reviews, right? Just say, hey, thanks for coming in. We can't wait to see you again, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so what happens is if you're a customer and you're searching for somewhere to eat and you end up on Chef Plum's, you know, barbecue squirrel restaurant.
It's a great place. I'm so excited about it. We have a whole our new menu comes out. The spring menu this year is going to have a bunch of purees in it. Like, you can get anything pureed you want.
I'm looking forward to the stew. So, yeah. basically,
it's good for your neighbor Edna. She's going to enjoy it. She's going to yell about chaining people up and then coming to Chef Plum's pureed restaurant. It's going to be great.
She'll chain you up, man. She could kill you. All she has to do is make a call.
Sounds amazing. I can't wait.
I think she might be real, dude. I don't know who she is. But anyway, if I go and I see these reviews on your Yelp page and I see that you or somebody from the business is responding to reviews, it sends a signal to me that says a couple of things. A, this business cares about reviews, right? So maybe if I leave one, I'll get a response, right? So that's two signals. The third is that, like, this is a customer service signal. Oh, I see that somebody in the restaurant cares about their customers enough to do this. I might have a better time there. So all of those positive signals result in more business walking through your door and more people wanting to leave reviews.
Right. I mean, I think we're in a great time right now. I mean, honestly, when it comes to the business of restaurants and catering and food, I mean, we're in a great time right now. I mean, food education is at an all-time high. And I mean that by just not just like culinary schools and things like that, but, you know, even Joe Consumer knows more about food now than they ever have. And they want great food. They expect great food. You're finding places even like McDonald's who are trying to do, like, you know, higher-end type, you know, at least the appearance of higher-end type food because people are expecting that. In coming up here in 2019, Rev, we've talked about the importance of Yelp. What do you think is next? What do you think is the next most important thing that people should think about when it comes to their digital footprint or digital perception online?
Voice.
Ooh. Like, explain. What,
like,
do you mean?
Like Alexa, Google Home, Siri, right? Right now, we're in a world that's still dominated by, you know, online search or, right, you know, search that has, you know, a visual interface. But, you know, more and more, I think it's 1 out of 4 people use voice search for restaurants. Right?
Wow, really?
What happens when you ask, you know, Siri for, you know, hey, I want a burger for lunch, Siri, where should I go? You don't get 10 blue links. You don't even get a knowledge card. You just get a single answer, right? So how does a restaurant or any business make sure that they are that single answer? That's what everybody should think about. Because if you're not already doing the digital knowledge stuff and you're not responding to reviews, you're already behind. But voice is like, it's right now. It is literally right now. And the businesses that don't have voice top of mind are already falling behind.
So wait, Rev, you're telling me if I grab Siri on my phone right now and I ask her where should I get a burger, she'll actually answer me and give me a place?
Have you not done that?
No, I'm going to do it right now. Let me see. Robbie, have you done this or no?
I have not.
All right, let me see. Hey, Siri, where should I get a burger?
Marketplace Kitchen and Bar appears to serve burger and averages 3.5 stars. Is that the one you want?
Siri, I hate you.
That doesn't sound good.
Wow.
No, but look, one answer. No map pack.
That's
no
crazy.
No reviews, just one answer.
Robbie, that's fucking, I mean, do you hear that? That's fucking genius.
Yeah, if you're that one restaurant.
No, but the idea is to become that one restaurant. Okay, so right. Rev, how do you become the one restaurant?
Well, look, there's no guaranteed way to like SEO voice. It's not a thing yet. I mean, you can't SEO search. That's also not a thing.
Well, that search obviously comes from something because it gave me a star rating review on there. So it comes from some sort of review sort of scenario. So
it does. So yeah. So Alexa has its own knowledge graph. That's the brain-like database that it uses. You know, Google has a knowledge graph. That's where Google Home gets its information. And then Siri is tied to Apple and Yelp. So, you know, they all have a knowledge graph. They all have a database. But the only way to make sure that the information, at least the information, is correct about your business is to manage your digital knowledge.
Hey, Siri.
So you have to.
Yep. Who's the best caterer in the area?
The highest rated one I see is catering by Roxanne.
All right, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. I have a problem with this. Come on. Okay.
Sounds like somebody who doesn't believe in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is something I need to work on. We got to figure out how to do this. Now, is this something that Yext can help with, or does Yext not go that direction?
So, Yext has integrations into Apple, Google, and Alexa. So, the way it would work is if you have Yext, you would enter your information about your business, and we would hand it off to Google, and we would hand it off to Alexa, and we would hand it off to Siri, right? So they would at least have the correct information. Now, how they surface the answer, that's a whole other algorithm conversation right. That gets a little deep. But you're ahead of the game if at least they have the correct information about you, your address, your hours of operation, what credit cards you take, you know, what's on your menu, stuff like that.
Man, honest to God, my mind is blown right now. I had no idea this was a thing people did. Robbie, did you know this? I mean, are we just old?
No, I'm speechless. I mean, this is crazy talk.
I mean, it makes total sense. Well, I was just in New Orleans, man. I was just in Louisiana, in Tribodeau, Louisiana, and myself and Chef Nick Callius were looking for a bar to go to and have a couple drinks, and it took forever to find one, and I could have just asked Siri, and she probably would have given me something close by.
Yep.
Wow. We ended up at, Norm's Daiquiri Shack, which is hysterical. It's a whole other story itself. But that's where we ended up. They were serving daiquiris, Rev, in 32-ounce big gulp cups. And I got a margarita daiquiri, Rev, and it looked delicious. And the woman said to me at the bar, she goes, "Do you want salt with that? This is a styrofoam cup with a plastic lid." And I said, "Yeah, I'd like a little salt with my margarita daiquiri." She takes the salt container and dumps salt on the plastic lid of my cup.
Oh.
I cracked up laughing, and I said, "This is a giant cup." And I made the joke saying, "Do you guys have bigger sizes?" She goes, "Yes, we do. You just got to go through the drive-thru." And she goes, "Don't worry. We put a piece of tape over top the hole so the man won't get mad at you when you drive home." I was like, "Oh, okay, good. That's great news. That's great news. Good." And lo and behold, there's actually a drive-thru, and you can order your shit by the gallon. I'm not making this up.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. A wonderful place. But I should have asked. It would have been. I mean, then again, had I asked, I would have ended up at Norm's. But what a crazy thing! So you think voice is the way to go when it comes to this sort of stuff, man? And you're a guy who definitely knows this sort of thing. Do you think the time of Facebook is dying? Because I know Facebook used to mean a lot.
No, I mean, Facebook is a part of how all these intelligent services know what to answer. It's a credible source. In fact, it's one of the, you know, top six or seven sources for information on the internet. So I don't think it's at all dying. But, you know, look, it has – I know people that when they're searching for something actually just search in Facebook, or they just search in Foursquare. So, you know, look, you might not use it, or, you know, I may use it only to be angry about our current political situation, or, you know, share that I'm on this podcast. But, like – my answer from Google, but other people get it from Facebook. So,
right. I mean, we're more connected now as a people than we ever have been. I mean, we don't get political about it, but we truly are. And with this connection is a lot of opportunity for restaurants and caterers and anybody who basically has a service to sell.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the smarter these services get, the more machine learning that happens, the more AI that goes into them, you know, the more this stuff is going to develop and the more personalized, you know, your experience is going to be. I mean, somebody the other day gave me one of these Google Homes from Lenovo that has a display.
Ooh.
So it's a smart speaker with a tiny little TV. Okay. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go home and be, you know, full on Tony Stark and Jarvis that up. But
that's amazing.
You know, like that's where we're going is we're all going to talk to our devices.
Well, and those things, they're not even very expensive anymore. You would think like, this is the future. They are $3,000. Well, dude, my Amazon Alexa costs like $40. It was awesome. And I was just, you're right. I use it for everything. Like everything's connected in my house now. You're absolutely right about that. So is the day of or the idea of having a website, obviously you have to have a website still, but the idea of websites for using them for marketing purposes, is that dead or does that fall pretty far down the line now?
No, it just serves a different purpose, right? So you, the problem is that, you know, there's more and more places for people to get this information, you know, and soon it's going to be in smart cars and smart watches and smart clothing or whatever. But it's still an important piece of information that you have to manage. You just have to also manage all these other places.
What about,
right?
What about like emails, like people who send like those, you know, let me send out an email blast to people to tell them what I've got
MailChimp
going on.
Or one of those.
Yeah. Is that dead?
Email marketing? No. I think that people's ability to penetrate your eyeballs and your inbox is a lot harder than it's ever been because everybody has email, right. You know? So I think you have to be better at email or you have to know how to use it appropriately, but I don't think it's dead. You know, all these things, you know, no business, I don't care if you're, you know, McDonald's, Home Depot, you know, General Motors, or, you know, Chef Plum Squirrel Barbecue Place.
It's a great place.
I keep hearing this. The Yelp reviews say something different. But anyway, you know, these are just like marketing tools. And so you just have to know which ones are going to help you reach the right audience the right way, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess you got to find out what your audience is. You know, like are you – what kind of – I guess what age range or which demographic of people you're reaching out to? What do you think is the best way to do that? How do you figure out what your demographic is?
You know, for any business, I would start by asking your own customers. Run a survey. You know, ask people questions. Take notes. You know, it's cheap, free, and easy to ask somebody through the door. Who are you? What do you do? You know, do you want to be in my email blast? We're doing a survey. We'll give you 10% off your next trip. Start asking questions, and you'll start to learn. And then the other thing, too, is if you have a Facebook page and you're pushing, you know, your customers to at least like it, you can also get some of that demographic data out of Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook does provide a lot of data. I know for our show, Restaurant Road Trip, the amount of information that I know about people who watch our show is out of control. It's unbelievable what they can tell me. I know how much money they make, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
How does Facebook know that?
Because you agreed to that in their terms and conditions when you signed up for it.
I mean, they can't see my bank accounts, though.
They have an idea. I mean, look, I don't, not that deep of a... I don't know that deep of knowledge about how the Facebook, you know, information grab works, but... They have their ways.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
I heard it goes something by when you're in a certain income bracket, you're reading different, you know, you're looking
like different articles
things.
And stuff, right?
Yeah, you're searching different companies, and you know, if there's enough of those, you're doing a.
I just want to point out, if they're using that to learn any information about me, based on what I'm searching, I kind of wish they wouldn't do that because it's not really me.
I wonder, buddy.
I wonder what they're thinking about me since I was searching, you know, Mr. Sacco earlier.
Dude, that's really funny. Or when I was searching something about midgets, but we'll talk about that later. That's a whole different conversation itself. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on the internet, Rev. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I have, actually.
Yeah. All right, we're going to try something here. I'm going to give Robbie his first chance at reading the plug off. Is that okay?
I can't wait for this.
All right, Rob, let's see what you got. Ready? Go for it. Make it sound like it's good.
No, man. I'm not prepared for this.
Come on, I just sent it to you. You can read it. You'll do a good job. Usually the co-host has all the plugs.
What? No, you didn't tell me this.
All right. Well, come on, you got it. I believe in you. This is dead air. You got to keep moving, Chef.
Joined tonight by Rev. He is the director of industry insight for Yex, marketing guru, burger icon, and more. Follow him at Rev. How do you say your last name, buddy?
Ciencio.
Ciencio on social media, where you'll find food porn, restaurant recommendations, and lots of marketing tips, especially for restaurants.
That's good. That was great. I mean, you usually don't want to ask a guest how to say his name, but that was pretty good.
Yeah, well. Listen, it was way better than butchering it.
Listen, you did a great job, though. I'm not going to lie. It didn't feel like you were reading it, even though I know you were. It was good. Rev, okay. What do you think?
I think next time it needs to sound a little more like this. On Sunday, Sunday, get ready, Brewster, Connecticut, for the biggest monster truck rally of the year.
If I got to know at 9 o'clock that's what I was doing, I could have practiced that a little bit. Maybe in the shower.
You didn't get Skype to work till 8:59, till 9:59, so.
Listen, I think that's an Apple thing, man, because it worked on the phone, no problem.
There you go.
You might need some of these Weller... original coconut bite hemp extract cookies.
That could help for sure. Rev, you and I haven't.
Can you send me some of those?
Yeah, I got dark chocolate. So you can have them.
Nice.
Rev, we haven't had chicken wings together in far too long, sir.
I don't even remember the last time I had chicken wings, so yes.
I mean, chicken wings. You and I used to eat chicken wings, I felt like, at least once a month together.
We did. We did some bacon, too. We did some good bacon times.
Yes, we did. It was a lot of fun. It's been too long, man. So the festival scenario, man, with your new job, are you able to be a part of that stuff or not quite as much?
You know, the job doesn't really get in the way of that. It's more about having a toddler at home. You know,
and I want to point out to you, jackass, because I set you up there, by the way, because I knew you were going to say that. You guys used to give me so much shit when I couldn't come out before you had a kid, and I had three, and you're like, what the fuck, man? Come on, we're having... I'm like, bro, I can't get the kids and a wife. You were like, isn't your wife? Come on. And now here we go. Listen to what you just said. Oh, you made me so happy you said that. Just kidding, buddy. I love you. You know that.
No, it's all good. I mean, look, it's not like I live in a world where my wife's like, you can't go out on the weekends, but like, I truly love being a dad. Yeah. And from Friday night until, you know, Monday morning, like, that's dad time, man. I want to be a dad.
Of course.
And it, you know, if the right festival comes up or whatever, I'll go. But these years you don't get back, and soon he's actually going to be able to really talk back, and then I'm going to leave on the weekends.
Dude, let me tell you what, it gets more and more fun. Robbie, am I right? Like, it does get more fun.
You are totally correct there, Plum. And Rev, one is like none.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means when you have three and you only have one of them, it's like you don't have any kids.
He's kind of right. Like, you're almost like not really doing it. You guys should have another kid.
No.
No.
So you're not going to go with the no sense of being stupid unless you can prove it method.
I don't know what that is, but no.
I mean, it sounds like a good excuse for things, though. I've never heard that either. So, listen, just to get back into the real conversation here, brother, and I appreciate your time, like, coming on here as you're sitting there in the nursing home next to Edna's room, who I'm sure has a cup against the wall at the moment waiting to, you know, she's sharpening her chain the very end of it. She watched Walking Dead last night and is ready to do some crazy things to you. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. It's been a while. You've been there by yourself, so who knows what you're into. Whatever. No judgment here.
Listen, when she gets uppity, and at this point I'm just done with it, I blast Slayer.
In a nursing home. At least you know amazing. Most of your neighbors can't hear it.
The other day I was in here blasting some metal, and the nurse came in to like change my IV, and she goes, are you listening to metal? I was like, oh, sorry. She goes, no, I love Maiden. And I was like, whoa, where am I?
That's great, man. That's awesome. Hey, let me ask you, man. So listen, let's just say that you are you're a small restaurant, a small caterer, a small business itself. You have very, very limited money when it comes to marketing dollars, you know, very limited, very minimal even. And where is the best place to put those dollars you do have to market yourself right now if you're a restaurant?
I mean, you know, for me, it's about managing two things, your digital knowledge and your online reputation. And, you know, like if you can't afford a software like Yext that lets you do that easily, it's not that expensive, but I get it. I would make sure that you're prioritizing, you know, how do you manage Google, Bing, Yahoo, Foursquare, the top ones, and what are you doing to, you know, make sure that you're getting, you know, not only more reviews, but you're responding to reviews. And that would be the first place that I would look at. And once you've got that in an area where I think works, I would start looking at how do you generate word of mouth. And that could be Facebook ads. It could be Instagram ads. Or my favorite is influencer marketing.
So what do you get like? Hang on a second, Robbie. I do influencer marketing. What do you mean? Like you're going to pay some influencer to come in and eat?
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to pay them. A lot of influencers will come in just for free food.
That's true. Very, very true.
I wrote a guide for it. I'll send you a link.
All right. I'd love to see it, man. Robbie, go ahead, buddy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. So what is a program with Yext cost? Is it
good question.
Platform-based or...
It is. Like... So, yeah, there's a couple of different levels that, you know, if you buy X, it gives you, you know, A. If you buy Y, it gives you B. You know, if you buy the full Monty, which of course I'm going to say is the best one to have, it's $1,000 a year. So, but
that's nothing.
That's nothing. I mean,
you know, I look at it this way. $1,000 is a big check to write at once. I get that. But if you look at it another way, it's like $3.40 a day. And, you know, I don't know what somebody's time is worth, but if this can alleviate you of, you know, 1 hour of work a day, then it's worth $3.40.
And what does that get you? Let's just say, like, what does that actually get you, the full Monty? Like, give me an example of what that actually gets you. Because this is a great deal. I mean, for $1,000 a day, this sounds incredible. I mean, not $1,000
a year.
That's what I meant. Sorry, a year, not a day. Okay. That was terrible. That's not like an asshole.
So, I think you just got two new customers.
Yeah.
So the first thing it does, it allows you to take all those public facts, all that digital knowledge, and you put it in the database. And then what it does from there is it updates hundreds of places where it lives online: Google, Bing, Yahoo, Yelp, Foursquare, also Alexa, Siri, Google Home. I'm not going to name them all, but there's literally hundreds of places. It updates all of them, and then it puts a lock on it, and nobody can change that information but you or the publisher, right? So you ever see, like, on Google where it says, hey, want to suggest different hours here, and, like, it just lets a user do that? They can't do it.
Oh, that's
cool. So that's step one. Puts you in control of your information everywhere, right? That's one thing it does. Then you get a whole bunch of analytics on the backside of that tell you, you know, what hours of day you're getting searched for, when customer phone calls are happening. You know, what do your demographics look like in terms of, you know, is it male or female? Are you indexing high on mobile search versus, you know, desktop search? And you're like, why is that important? Well, let's say you're a fine dining restaurant and you're watching this data and you start noticing that you're getting way more mobile searches than you were desktop searches. That means that more people are deciding to eat at your fine dining restaurant on the go, right? So you need to adjust your marketing now, right? Because normal fine dining, people make reservations days, weeks, months in advance, right? But if you're a fine dining restaurant and you see this data and you see that you're ranking higher and higher and higher on mobile searches, you need to know what's happening and you need to change your marketing. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So you get this data platform. The next piece of it then is you get a reputation management platform that allows you to look at all of your reviews on all of these sites in one place: TripAdvisor, Yelp, Google, Facebook, Foursquare, whoever else we work with. You can sort through them all. You can look at them all. You can organize by platform, by star rating, whether you've responded or not. You can then also respond in the platform. So you don't have to log out and go to Yelp to respond. You can just log it. You can just reply right there. You can then get huge sentiment analysis. So let's say you're a restaurant and you release a new summer menu. You can go in and enter, like, the key menu items and watch for those search terms to come up in your reviews, and not just see how frequently, but what other words are being associated with. So, like, let's say, you know, you put this new squirrel, you know, brisket on, and all
sounds
of a sudden
amazing.
You start
with
seeing,
hickory. We do it with hickory.
I'm sure you should. And you start seeing a lot of, you know, negative reviews, and, you know, you can now see why you're getting those reviews. It helps you learn something about your business you wouldn't have known otherwise.
Well, the interesting part is, a minute ago I was asking you, like, who do you market to and how do you figure that out? And you were talking about grassroots and talking to people. It sounds like this whole enchilada plan with Yext actually gives you a good idea of who you should market to and how you should market to it. You know, you're talking about the mobile stuff, talking about the people who are looking on their phones and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard for me, you know, in a you know, voice conversation to show you everything this does, and I don't want to turn this into a commercial. It does so much more than what I'm talking about. I mean, look.
It's a paid spot. Everyone knows it's a paid spot. It's cool. Everybody knows Yext paid for you to be on here. It's fine.
Let me put it to you this way. I was at...
That's not true. No one paid anything. Stop it. I'm kidding. Rev, you didn't even, like, flinch. You didn't even, like, jump and defend that. What the fuck, dude?
No, you'll figure it out. It's your show. You know, I was at Schwide, right? And one of my jobs there, one of my primary functions was to help their customers with marketing.
Right.
And so, you know, they were working with huge international chains all the way down to mom and pops. And they would call me and go, you know, how do I manage my reviews, or what's my Instagram strategy, or how do I do SEO, blah, blah, blah. And I would tell them, like, dude, you need this tool. It's called Yext. It does all these things.
Really?
And I started to realize that there was nobody out there really servicing mom and pop restaurants with the solution that Yext had. And that's part of the reason I left that company, is I went to go start a consultancy where basically, like, I'll do Yext for you was my entire business model. Wow. And I was, you know, it was a good paying job. I had a 6-month-old kid at home. I had health insurance needs and a mortgage, and I took a bet on it. And I was right, and started making some really good money, helping out a lot of good restaurants. And Yex called me and said, "This is amazing. Do you want to come work here?" And, you know, I love the product. I love how powerful it is. I love what it can do for a restaurant. And I thought, this is my opportunity to go help more restaurants.
So now, let me ask you, I don't remember for sure, man. Have you ever worked in a restaurant?
I used to own one.
Okay, tell a story. I don't think I know that.
So, biggest mistake I ever did in my life was Robbie, mowing my lawn.
No, I did.
No, number one biggest mistake was mowing my lawn. Second biggest mistake. Now, it was one of those things where, like, ever since college, I was like, I want to own a bar. And then,
of course, we all did back then.
Yeah, a couple of my friends put a business plan together, called me one day and said, "If you got 15 grand, you're in." And I said, "Yes." And, you know, I could have gone to college and gotten an MBA, and instead I spent the same amount of money ruining a bar. And, I got an MBA there. I got my street MBA.
There you go.
Where was this awesome bar?
New York City. It was an awesome bar. Let me tell you what.
When was it?
We opened in 2010 and we sold in 2016.
All right.
Wow, but, wait, 2016. You owned a bar back when we were like eating chicken wings? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were trying to sunset it and sell it at that point, so it wasn't really open, but yeah.
Damn. Did it do well or no?
Well, I mean, probably not based on where I am today. But here's the thing. It's a really long, stupid story. But there were two bars in the same location, one upstairs and one downstairs. And, there was one license. There was one lease, right? One electric bill. But we basically split it into two businesses. So the guys upstairs owned the business. Us downstairs owned the business. The guys upstairs ran the place into the ground, didn't tell us. Got a couple $100,000 in debt, didn't tell us. And then just at the point where we were about to start really making money downstairs, they told us. And because legally we were tied to them, we had to try to bail them out. And we were never able to do it. So, and the thing is the three of us that own the bar downstairs, we're all marketing guys. We weren't, bar owners. We never owned a bar in our life.
But were you working? Like, were you there working shifts and like running the management type thing?
There was probably less than 6 Wednesdays in 6 years that I was not in that bar.
No, not drinking. I'm just kidding.
No. We had a beer tasting program that I ran every single Wednesday night. I was always there working.
Let me tell you something, Robbie, too. One of the best guys ever to have beers with and just shoot the shit and hang out with is Rev. Rev is an amazing guy to sit down and talk to. The guy just, Rev knows a little bit about everything.
I want to talk to you tomorrow about signing up for this program. I want the full Monty.
Look, for anybody that's listening and wants to know more, just Google Black Barn Yext, and there's a story on there about a single location restaurant in Manhattan that used this and what it did for them. And I'm not saying you'll see those results, but like it'll give you an idea of what it does. So,
man, it's amazing how you've seen, like, to me it almost helps legitimize you more telling your story about your restaurant and your bar and how you had it for so long and how you had to sell it and get rid of it. That makes you more legitimate to me. Does that make sense? Because sometimes I look at these people and these quote influencers on Instagram and listen, I see you posting pictures about other people's food and I become a bitter Instagrammer these days to where I just get angry about things and I watch people. I'm like, stop posting food. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't have a degree in food. You haven't done anything. Shut up. Not you, but in general, there are some people who are like that. It drives me nuts. Not you specifically, I'm saying, because I've done things with you where we've had wings and we've talked food. Like, I know you're a very intelligent guy, but there are some people who go on there and they're like, it's more about posting, here's a selfie of me having a French onion soup at this restaurant. Hey, look. And it drives me nuts, dude. It drives me absolutely apeshit. How do we get rid of those people?
I figure the weed is going to cut itself from the chaff.
It doesn't,
but...
though, bro. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. One of the biggest bloggers.
No, because
here...
they're pretty. We got to put antifreeze in the French onion soup.
Dude, one of the biggest bloggers here in Connecticut, and I'm not going to shoot anybody down or say names. I try to keep it positive here. They don't know shit about food, and it drives me absolutely apeshit. They know nothing. Like, they've never worked in the business. They haven't gone to school. They haven't done shit. But they're still going to go online and then review food. It makes me crazy. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about.
I get asked by a lot of people, like, hey, what advice do you have for, either doing influencer marketing as a restaurant, or I want to be an influencer, how can I grow my account, whatever. And the number one thing I tell everybody is have a goal. Like, have a goal. Give people a reason to follow you. Give people a reason to want to be a part of your business. And if your reason is, well, I take pretty pictures and I'm good looking, or I know how to make cheese look sexy in this lighting. Well, good. There's 6 billion of those out there.
Right.
Good luck with that goal. And, you know, for some people that works, and amen, they figured it out. I don't want to be that person. You know, I can take those photos and, you know, I can talk about those things. You know, if you go look at my Instagram, you know, every 4 or 5 posts, I'm doing hospitality marketing tips, yeah. Right? Like, you know, you'll still get the oozy cheese and good lighting, but, you know, I know that what my goal is for being on there. And those people's goal, if it's just to be like egotistical and self-serving, they'll either fade away or the system will work it out.
Yeah, but you tell a story, though, man. That's what I like the most about what you do on your Instagram. That's the truth. Like, you really do. You tell the story. No, I mean, like, I'm not even being funny. You tell the story about people. Like, you know, some of the posts that you, when you put them up there, man, like, you actually talk about, you know, what the chef is or what the restaurant is or what they do and tell their story a little bit. The one you just did, the most recent one, when you talk about those chili fries with the Cheetos on top, you tell the story about his grandfather. It's just dope. Like, I think that's important.
Well, I mean, look, I think...
You're paying homage.
Well, thank you. Well, that's what I like about food, is I like the stories and I like the people.
Right.
And I like the hands that made it. And so that's what's interesting to me. And so, you know, like, look, I could post those. By the way, those fries were stupid, ridiculously awesome. anybody could post those fries, right? But not everybody's going to tell that story. So that's what I want to do. I want to tell the story. I want to make you feel like you could be a part of this business, you know?
Dude, it's so dope. And Rev, it's late. I want to run a little bit over here, because I have two more questions for you, just for my own personal gain that I want to ask you about, man, if you got time. I know you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm dying to tell a story, so.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you tell your story first, man, and I'll ask my two questions afterwards. How about that? Because I know you told me on the phone you had a fantastic story to give us.
So I have not told this story publicly yet. This is the first time it's being told.
Should I sit down or no? I've been standing the whole time here.
So for anybody that has been religiously following my exploits in the nursing home here, and I'm sorry if you have been.
Oh, he's coming clean. The whole thing's a work.
The food here is really not great.
Fucking no shit.
Look, they're nice people. They try real hard. They have a breakfast buffet every morning. You can order everything you want. The chef's been making me a beautiful breakfast tacos. Like, I'm not commenting on the food, but it is what it is. Okay. So,
name? I'm going to tag him on Instagram really quick and tell him to check the show out.
He doesn't have an account. He's Chef Roy. He's awesome, though. He's so nice.
All right.
But literally, it's all grannies and grandpas in here, and they're having like one pancake or some yogurt. Right. And I'll walk in and be like, 9 stack, 3 different kinds of pancakes, and I want frosting. Rev, we don't have frosting. I ordered some, and then next thing you know, I got like 9 pancakes with syrup pouring down the sides, and everybody's like, what is going on? Anyway, I have been taking pictures of all the food that they serve here, which is very institutionalized, and then I filter it, and I colorize it, and I sharpen it, and then I've been putting it in my store so it looks like food porn, right?
Yeah, right.
Is that the pancakes I saw, like the confetti pancakes I saw?
Well, the story I was just telling is about those, but if you go look in my stories, or I have a highlight reel on that that's just called Hospital, it's just like food pornized versions of, you know, frozen hospital food. Okay. So anyway, I take this picture, right? I take this picture the other day, and it was probably like 2-3 weeks ago, and it was lasagna, right? And it came with broccoli. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm an Italian kid. I like lasagna. I like broccoli. And if you see the photo, the broccoli is just stalks. No florets. So the photo,
what?
No florets.
I'm looking for it right now.
It's in my stories. It's not in the feed. You have to go to stories, go to highlights, click hospital. It's in there. It's probably the 10th or 11th one in. But and I write on the picture, here's how to get me to not eat vegetables. Remove the florets from the broccoli.
What the fuck? Hold on. I'm trying to pull it up now. I'm seeing all kinds of things. I'm trying to get to it. Oh, my God.
Whatever. You know, you'll see. You see the photos in there. There's the white bread sandwiches.
Wow.
Anyway, the frozen ham. Anyway, so whatever. I'm rolling around here.
Did you eat the peanut butter and jelly and the bologna and cheese together?
Yes.
Oh, right, my God. Around here. What, like, is a pork patty?
It's like a McRib sandwich, but like
never say. Cheese. Holy shit, guys! He's not lying. He's showing a lasagna. He says the lasagna is not bad, but literally they chopped up broccoli stems, and there's one tiny floret in there. It's chopped up broccoli. I got to give him credit for the knife skills. It looks nice. And is that one piece of cauliflower in there too? What the?
Yeah, it looks like there's some cauliflower stalk as well.
Rev, what on earth is going on here?
So, all right, so listen. So I put that photo up. I think nothing of it. I go back about my day, what I'm getting IVs, I'm doing work, I'm taking a shower with wet wipes, whatever goes on here. And a couple of days later, one of the people that works in the culinary program comes up to me and says, Rev, I saw your photo and I agree. And I go, I'm sorry? She's like, I saw your picture on Instagram about the broccoli florets. I was like, great. Everybody in the nursing home is now following me and they're seeing these photos I'm putting up. She's like, I have been complaining to the board that the food quality around here needs to get upped. I was like, oh, okay. And I'm trying to like be cool about it. And I hope I didn't offend her or whatever.
Right.
She's like, well, I printed out the photo and I brought it to our last meeting. And guess what? I got an approval to improve the vegetable program here. So of all people to win one for vegetables, I don't know.
Yeah, you?
But no joke, if you start sliding through the rest of those photos, you will see every time you see broccoli, there's a floret.
Rev Ciancio, vegetable advocate. There you go. Dude, that's amazing. But you made a change. That's awesome.
And no joke, Rev,
you might want to teach them how to blanch as well, apparently.
You know, I'm sure they're frozen vegetables from a pack. Like, I'm sure.
Dude, but, what the hell?
But no joke, my stupid Instagram actually improved the vegetable program here at the nursing home.
That is...
That's why Aetna didn't go nuts tonight.
Yeah. Dude, that's crazy, man. What a great story, though, Rev. I'm sure they all are following you for sure because they should be. But, like, here's the thing. You go to... This is what's interesting, and I've talked about that a lot in this program with some people we've had on recently. Places like that and places like these corporate dining places, our good buddy, I talk about all the time, our buddy Dimitri, who's Rake on the show, a good buddy of mine, you know, he left his restaurant job. He worked at Blue Smoke, Rev. I don't know if you remember him.
It's like 2 blocks from my office. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was a chef over there, and he won the Time Out Magazine Wing Festival we did together. Do you remember that or no? Were you there?
Yes sir.
Yeah.
I was not at that one, but I remember it.
He was great, but he took a job at Top of 30 Rock doing corporate dining, and here's what's happening. You're finding these people coming in, these corporate dining places like what he's doing and similar to the nursing home what you're doing, and maybe not the one you're at, but a lot of them are bringing in actual chefs. They're giving them free rein on the menu to hit certain dietary points, of course, obviously. And here's a budget and letting them bring in ingredients and write menus fresh every day and do things. That's changing the business a little bit. It's taking away a lot of the good people. Because, listen, if you're a chef and you're used to working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week, getting your ass kicked, no holidays, no paid time off, all of a sudden they're going to say, hey, we're going to pay you a really good salary, give you insurance for your family, and P.S., you don't have to work weekends. Yes, I'm in. That's what they're doing. So they're taking away. So maybe, you know, the place you're at is kind of doing the same thing with having a chef there who wants to make changes.
I applaud better food for everybody, so.
Right? I agree, man. I agree completely. I have some weird background music on. You guys can't hear. I thought it was going to be like a cool like house song, but it's not. It's like a weird jazzy like piano beat. It's kind of weird. It feels like we're on a date.
Oh, I thought that was just in my head from these like Weller hemp snacks, but okay, good.
Hey, Rev, I appreciate your time tonight, man. I really do, and it's always a great time talking to you, man. And seriously, I hope you get well soon. You deserve it. You shouldn't be a guy like you should not be locked up. That's for damn sure. We're joined tonight by the one and only Rev Ciancio. He's the director of Industry Insights for Yext, a marketing guru. He's a burger icon, which we haven't even touched on yet. He also has broken bones, which makes him awesome. You can follow him at Rev Ciancio on all social media. That's RevCiancio on all social media. His Instagram is great. You'll find food porn, restaurant recommendations, and lots of marketing tips, especially for restaurants. He's a great guy to talk to. Rev, we're running a little over, and if that's okay with you, I want to ask you two more things. Is that cool?
Hit me.
Brother, you're seeing things now. Let's start with this. Is TV dead? Does it matter anymore? Let me ask you why. Everybody and their mom has been on Chopped. It doesn't matter. It's almost more the anomaly to have not been on a show like that. And I know for a fact Food Network sold to Discovery Channel, 60 cents on the dollar. It's a big thing. They almost went under because they had no digital plan. And I think that's the way we're going. In your world, when you think of marketing, is TV dead? Does it matter anymore?
It's a funny question to ask me right now because I might watch like maybe an hour or two of TV a week, maybe. right?
Right.
I have watched more TV in the last 5 weeks than I have the last 3 years. So it's an interesting question to ask me, but like, do you mean in terms of like building a business or building a celebrity?
Yeah,
or
using it as a marketing tool for yourself. I mean, listen, you know me and what I've done, man. I've built my career. You know, I started off on The Taste and on ABC, and I've kind of built my whole thing off of that with, you know, 12 Food Network appearances and doing all kinds of shit and building my career. And now I know that my show, Restaurant Road Trip, this network I'm on doesn't even care what our ratings are, even though we're the top. They don't care. All they care about is the digital views, the views they get on Facebook, the views they get on on YouTube. That's all they care about. The network. ABC, well, that's all they care about.
I think it's amazing. Man, look, I don't think TV is dead. I think TV has just evolved. And if you are a business owner or a chef or really anybody, and you're like waiting for the moment you get on screen, and look, I've been on screen. I've been on 14 shows. You know, you've been on show. Like, it's not that big a deal. And, you know, there's only like one Guy Fieri. There's only one Alton Brown. There's not 700 of them, you know. And because you got on Chopped once doesn't make your career.
No.
So, like, it's not dead. But I think people who are waiting for that moment to change their life have it wrong. If you want to start using media in general, whether it's Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or television or a newspaper, the internet has given you the power to start that now.
Yeah.
Right? You can't wait for television to do it for you. You need to do it for yourself. And if television comes down the line, it's probably going to be pretty powerful when that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. And I like to point out, too, if you don't mind, if I stroke my own ego a little bit.
Please.
We had Guy Fieri on this show. One of the only few podcasts a man's ever done was this particular program here. And he said it was one of the best interviews he's ever had. It's true.
Oh, I thought there was more to the story. I thought you were just bragging.
No, that was – well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. I had the guy on here. I called him Chef the entire time. I never once talked about Food Network.
Nice. You want to hear a fun Guy Fieri story?
Is it a good one? Because I like the guy a lot. I don't like when people shit on my man. He's awesome.
It will tie this entire conversation together.
Love it. My man.
So my best friend in the entire world, his name's Log. That's two G's. Logs.
You know what I heard about Log? He rolls downstairs. He's great in pairs, and he actually rolls over your neighbor's dog. He's great for a snack. He fits on your back. He's Log, Log, Log.
He's big. He's happy. He's wood. So Log's dream was to own a barbecue.
Anybody knows what we're talking about.
I definitely do. His dream was to own a barbecue restaurant, and he's in Lansing, Michigan. You know how many good barbecue restaurants there are in Lansing, Michigan?
I actually do, because I had a buddy of mine, Dave, who's normally on the show, is from there, but go ahead.
Okay, well, he's probably been to me. But anyway, Log was like, I love Southern barbecue, I love St. Louis barbecue, I love Texas brisket. Like, I can't get these things in Lansing. So he saved up all his money, and he opened up this restaurant, and it, like, from the minute he opened, sold out every day. Could not meet the demand of the neighborhood. Had to expand the business, still sold out every day. Complete success story. Well, he gets a call from Food Network. Hey, Guy wants to do your show. And like, he likes Guy, he likes the show, but he was like, I don't need it. He's like, I'm busy, I'm making the money I want to make. Like, and they were like, dude, this is a chance to be on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And he's like, all right, cool, you know, if you guys want to come by, like, I'm happy to have you. Like, he wasn't blowing them off. He was just like, he wasn't trying to like think this is going to make his dreams come true, right?
I don't know if I'm blowing up your spot here, but when you do Triple D now, they want you to close for 3 days. It's crazy.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a realistic business guy. So anyway, he decides to do it, right? And guy comes, and Log was kind of nonchalant about the whole thing. They ended up like best buddies, text messaging afterwards, like, yeah, whatever. Well, here's the thing. So Log was super busy. He's like, I have no idea what the show's going to do to me. I already can't handle my capacity. Well, when Triple D hit the air and his episode was on, this man learned what busy was. He didn't think he could be any busier than he was. And like, the people that were now, it wasn't just people in Lansing. It was people from Detroit and Jackson and Grand Rapids and all over the state were driving across the state to go to his restaurant. Well, guess what happened? Wasn't managing his digital knowledge, so his hours of operation were wrong on different sites, his address was wrong on different sites, he had the wrong phone numbers listed, one of the sites had his old business number, wow. And people were trying to eat at this restaurant they saw on Triple D, and he ended up getting a shitload of negative reviews because not only were people getting the wrong directions, not only were people getting the wrong phone numbers, the wrong hours of operation, they couldn't get what was on the menu, he couldn't respond to the reviews fast enough, he couldn't respond to the incoming messages, and basically because he wasn't managing his digital knowledge, the Triple D exposed all these problems, And he was like at his wit's end. He called me. He's like, I hate my business.
Oh,
and
no.
He went. He doesn't do yaks, but he got a marketing agency that does. They fixed everything, and it literally, the bad reviews stopped almost immediately.
Wow.
No more wrong directions. No more wrong hours of operation. No more wrong phone numbers. No more wrong menus. No more wrong anything.
Dude, that is crazy. Robbie, I mean, that's a story, a success story in itself there for getting your online footprint taken care of, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go cook a steak and Instagram it tonight because it's been since July.
So. Wow. What a great story, though, man. I mean,
as we pointed out in the pre-show.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right. Well, it was just amazing to see, and you have a guy like him come on here and do that, but, you know, and then you can see the reach of his and what he does, and there's a reason why Food Network runs that show, you know, Friday night from 8 to 3 in the morning. It's just nonstop. It's what they run, and, you know, but you've seen a whole drop-off in all these competition shows, though, because of it. I mean, it's become, nobody cares anymore. It's just a, listen, you can do food stuff. I tell people all the time, if you can do your local, like, you know, ABC channel, your local NBC, your local CBS channel, do their, every one of these people have a, you know, like an afternoon, a show that they do. Listen, you may not get a bunch from it, even if you become a regular on the show, but you'll get that video content you can then use for free for yourself. I mean, it's almost like not having to pay somebody to make a commercial for you. So I highly recommend people do it. I mean, do you think that's a waste of time, Rev?
I mean, look, I think if you're a business, right, marketing for a restaurant is local. It is not national. It is if you're McDonald's, but not if you're a small business operator. I mean, look, go do this later. Go on Instagram and look at Eastside Big Tom. Okay, it's a shoebox on the corner of a parking lot in Olympia, Washington. That's been around since the 40s. Okay. It was actually originally named In and Out before the Palm Tree guys, before the Animal Fries dudes. They actually had the rights to the original name, and it was originally like 12 locations, whatever. Over time, they sunk it down to one. But it is literally a two-window drive-through in a corner of a parking lot. Okay.
Wow.
He's been called by every show a billion times to be on it, and he hasn't said no. It just hasn't worked out or whatever. But if you go follow Mike Fritsch, he's the guy that owns it, right? This family-owned business that's been around since the 40s. And you go follow his Instagram, it is like the most fun business in the world that you're never going to eat at.
Really?
He is so crazy creative. They actually have a mobile Jurassic Park party they can bring to your house.
Oh, shit.
So you can have them come cook burgers, and they bring the dinosaurs and the Jeeps. Right?
Or he by the way... Robbie, that's my next birthday, okay? Can we make that happen?
You got it, buddy.
He owns a mystery machine that they do, like Scooby-Doo, that they do delivery in. They don't have a place where you can sit and eat, but they have a gnome garden. It's amazing. Like, you don't need to be on TV. You can just be interesting right in your own community, yeah. And you can use Instagram or Facebook or Yelp or YouTube to market your own community. You don't need a TV. You just need to be interesting. And, like, I have eaten at Eastside Big Time once.
Is it good?
And it's amazing. And they have this stuff called Goop. It's the best tater tot sauce I've ever had. But, wow. Like, I may never go there again. But I know every single time he puts up a new special, because he's so interesting to follow, that, like, to me, he's... I couldn't tell you who was on Chopped the last three seasons, but I know Mike Fritsch, because he does a great job.
What's his handle?
What's his Instagram? Looking for it now, too.
Eastside Big Tom.
All right. Eastside Big Tom. That's a great name, by the way. Eastside... Big Tom, Michael Fritsch, right?
Yeah.
Look at this guy. I mean, we're totally following him. This is amazing. Washington State's oldest drive-through restaurant, burgers, fries, cats, roadside attraction. This guy's is a hoot.
He owns one of the largest, like, home Halloween displays in, like, the western half of the United States. Guy's nuts, but he's a super genuine person. But this is what I'm saying.
Can you help me get him on the show?
I'd be happy. He'd love to do it. You don't need television. These tools are at your fingertips to be interesting and be creative and be weird. And this dude, all he owns is a drive-thru with no, you can't even sit down to eat there, and it pays for his life.
Wow.
And he's
amazing.
Got a wife and a family and, like,
wow. Well, Rev, last one for me, man. And again, I kept you up way too late. I know it's past your bedtime. You're probably talking so loud in your room. You're keeping up Edna next door. She's gonna wake up in a few minutes with her meat hook and chain and yell at people. And I don't want any of that happening. So, brother, I got to ask you, man. It's come to my attention. People have suggested several times to me that I should start doing things live on a regular basis because I have the equipment to do it on Instagram Live, or even going as far as doing Twitch. Twitch, normally the gaming community. Rob, you've heard of Twitch, right?
Yes, sir.
So Twitch is starting to kind of try to do more stuff besides gaming. They said I should jump on there and be a part of it. And what happens with Twitch is people can watch, and they can throw you a donation and things like that. So there is a way to make a little bit of money off of it. No one makes big money on Twitch, but you know, you can make some. But people have said that from you know, to be one of the first food content producers on a platform like that would be a good thing. Rev, in your experience, man, is it worth it? Do those things matter?
Like specifically Twitch, or just the idea of being the first person in a new format?
Yeah, like, obviously Twitch is a thing, and Twitch is doing great for gaming and things like that for people. But I mean more along the lines of like, you know, for taking a platform like that's known for one thing, and as they try to move on to do something different with it, you know, to try to go, they want to do everything from food to fashion to everything on Twitch. People have a Twitch channel that people can watch. Like, is that? I mean, listen, Twitch now is available on Apple TV. It's available on Roku players everywhere. I mean. Is it
worth
it?
Look, man, I think same is lame, right? And, you know, there's a billion Instagrammers out there. Just I'll give it through my lens. You know, there's a billion Instagrammers out there that are now starting YouTube shows, and it's just like 3 minutes of the same thing I get in 3 seconds from their photo, except it's them like, oh my God, this hamburger is amazing and blah, blah, blah. And like, who cares? There's already 10 million of those out there. Why do I need another? But ain't nobody doing it on Twitch, right? Or, you know, there's not a cooking show that only happens on Instagram TV. There might be. But the point being, like, I would rather go where nobody is and do something different than do the same thing as a billion other people in the same place.
Right, right. I mean, is this Instagram TV? Obviously, I remember when it first came out, it was like, oh, Instagram TV, but haven't really heard much about it since.
I mean, I do an episode every week, so, you know, but my thing was same thing.
How many views are you getting? Can you talk about that? I mean, or estimate?
No, I can tell you. I mean, you actually could probably go look, but I probably get on average like 500-600 plays a video.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, look, most people think I'm just a food Instagrammer. That's fine. You go look at my photos, it looks that way. I didn't want to just do Instagram TV of me eating or me going to a restaurant. You can get that a million other places. So, you know, my thing is I do Rev's Walk in the Park. Here it's been a stroll in the parking lot in a wheelchair, but I walk through a park, and for 3 minutes I just talk about marketing tips. And you can ask me questions live, you can ask me questions in advance, and that was my thing, right? So I don't see anybody else doing that. So, you know, I think those ideas are great. I think stuff like that's really cool, you know. And look, you're a creative guy. You're an energetic guy. You know, you've done this podcasting thing a lot longer than a lot of other people. We did 168 or something.
Yeah, 168 episodes now. It's crazy, right?
Like, yeah, like, why not try something new? Look, and here's the other thing. Here's my other – this is like decree of marketing 101. If you think it'll work, test it. And if it doesn't, stop. And if it does, do more.
That's some like – highfalutin thinking right there. I should really put more into that. That's awesome, man. Well, maybe I'll give it a go. Maybe I'll try to start doing that sort of stuff, man. I mean, having the equipment to set, it has to look good is the thing, I think. And I think getting there and doing some kind of cooking program where it's like a, you know, for years we talked about a cooking live show where it's done in real time. You know, you don't have the onions already pre-cut, the peppers aren't pre-cut. It's in real time, and you cook the food for people, and it's an hour long. So you have an hour to cook food and serve it, people eat and give their thoughts on it, all in 1 hour.
I love it. Go do it.
Isn't that what they kind of try to do on the Chew?
No, they talk to like Taylor Swift and stuff, which I would talk to Taylor Swift too. But like, you know,
okay,
you know, it's not really.
So there's an intern cutting my onions while I talk to Taylor Swift. Sign me up.
Jesus Christ, Robbie. any final thoughts for Rev, brother?
No, I just thank you so much for your time tonight. You definitely got a customer. I'm gonna reach out to you, and I'm definitely gonna use you.
Yeah,
for,
look,
I would, moving forward with my businesses.
Look, I'll say this to you guys in the show, and I'll to your audience as well. My email is rev@yex.com. If you want to talk about any of this or have any questions about anything that we talked about today, just drop me an email. So,
How about that? Not many marketing guys will ever say that to you, man. Rev at yex.com. And, of course, you can find him at Rev Ciancio on Instagram, Twitter, all the social media. You can find him there. He is an amazing guy who's came on here. And Rev is one of those guys that's super easy to talk to. He'll give you all the information you want, man. He'll talk to you. He'll help you through stuff. The problem with Rev is that he's super nice. I wish he weren't so nice, dude. I really wish you weren't. He's a director of industry for industry insights for Yext and a marketing guru. You can't go wrong. So make sure you follow him at you guys at Rev Ciancio, of course, on all social media. And he just gave you his email, rev@yext.com. Give him a shout, man. Let him know what's up. He'll give you a discount, 55% off that year package on Yext. He's got coupon codes for that. Just hit him up for that. He'll let you know.
Yeah, just click the radio icon in the top corner and type in Plum Loves Food.
That's it. Plum Loves Food.
I thought we agreed it was going to be Squirrel Barbecue.
Squirrel Barbecue. There you go. Hey, Rev, listen, man, really seriously, thank you for all your time tonight and throwing a little extra time in here for us. We really appreciate it. I hope you get well soon. I'll check in with you very, very soon to make sure you're doing well. And you and I need to have a cocktail or wings or something together here very soon.
Dude, I have not had a beer since August. I am dying for a beer.
Wow. Hey, you and I both. I haven't had one since Labor Day, but I'm doing mine because I'm fat.
Your mind was not a choice.
Well, listen, you're a great guy. Please do me a favor. Tell your lovely wife yours hello. I've met her before. She's a sweetheart. Please say hello to her for me. And I look forward to chat with you on down the road, brother.
Awesome. Mr. Plum, Mr. Rob, thank you guys so much. I really had a good time tonight. Thank you for allowing me to talk with you guys in your audience. Dude.
You are the man, brother. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, have a great night.
Peace, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Robbie, don't leave me. We're not done yet.
I'm not leaving you.
We got to get rid of Rev because he's going to head on down the road, but you and I are going to end this program together. Dude, that was a great conversation, wasn't it?
That was very, very, very good stuff. I know you have a lot of young industry people listening to this show, and I am not a young industry person, and I've been doing this for a while, and I think I learned a lot tonight.
Yeah, I think I did too, actually. That whole, like, asking Siri thing just blew my mind. I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where the kids are going.
It must be. Robbie, what's your Instagram handle, man, so people can find you on Instagram?
Chef Robert Prado at Instagram.
That's right. Check him out at Chef Robert Prado on Instagram. And guys, of course, please do rate, review, and subscribe to this program. It comes for you for free once a week where you get all kinds of industry tips like the ones you just got tonight. I mean, literally, people would pay money for that conversation we just had, dude.
He should be charging us for
he
that
should
conversation.
Be, but he's a sweetheart of a guy. He doesn't do that. He gave his email out to people. How about that? rev@yext.com. It's yext.com. Pretty amazing.
I'll be emailing him tomorrow.
Send him an email. He's a very helpful guy. Robbie, thank you for jumping in here tonight, man, and pinch hitting. We really appreciate it. By the way, you did a great job. You were great, man.
Thanks,
man. You chimed in. You were fucking perfect. It was awesome.
Try.
Yeah, it was good stuff, man. It was good stuff. And we got to have you back on here very soon to do that again. I forgot about something. I need to announce right now that we should have talked about earlier. I put on Instagram, we're going to start the Portrait of a Chef series. Where we're gonna interview some really great chefs across the country who, you know, maybe they don't have a giant name behind them, or maybe they don't have a bunch of TV stuff behind them. Just really good chefs who deserve a little attention. So we're gonna start that series next week, Rob, which is pretty fun. I think it's a great. No one does that, right?
No, and I know I didn't do it over social media, but I did send you a guy who 110% fits that profile.
Yeah,
he's been a mentor of mine. He used to be one of the best chefs on the East End, kind of got out, went into food consulting, and now is doing he's doing consulting, but it's on more of a corporate and like a really big level. I really want you to get – I hope you can get in touch with him. I'm gonna reach out to him tomorrow and see if I can kind of connect you guys.
I'd love it.
Bill Valentine, he is – amazing. He loves doing barbecue, makes his own bacon, smokes everything he can. Everything's from scratch, and he's one of those guys, when you can't figure something out, you can call him and he has the answer.
Well, I love that. And we get him on the show, man. You got to co-host with me and jump in there and talk to him with me.
Absolutely. And he is a great, great dude for that kind of stuff. He's a jack of all trades.
I think we'll make it a 4-week series. A 4-week series. I think we'll do here, Portrait of a Chef. So I'll post it on the Instagram stories again. You can nominate people. Our first nomination that got sent to me right off the bat was for a wonderful human being named Lisa Hannaford. She is in the Michigan area, and I reached out to her and told her, and she's going to be our first guest on the Portrait of a Chef series next week. So Lisa Hannaford will be here. She's an amazing chef. She is a hard-working, ass-kicking chef, man. I can't wait to have her on here and talk to her a little bit, man. It should be a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome, man.
So, you know, this is what we do, man. We focus on these guys. We give information. That's one of the favorite things to do on the show, man. It's just anything we can do to help the industry, because that's what this industry is, a great industry. And you got to know where you came from to know where you're going.
It is, man. And I think that your Portrait of a Chef thing is going to help weed out some of those things that you don't like about the phonies.
I hope so. I can get pretty vocal about that when we're not online, can't I?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, listen, man, the thing that solves most problems is education.
That's it.
Just educate everybody.
That's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, Portrait of a Chef starts next week with our first guest, Lisa Hannaford. Big shout out to our guest tonight, Rev Ciancio. What a fantastic gentleman. Hope he gets well soon. Much love to you, brother. We want to see you get home and get back on your feet, moving around. Check out Yext, of course. What a fantastic tool for industry people. For not a lot of money, so I can't emphasize it enough. It sounds awesome. I'm actually going to check into it myself, and I'm pretty sure Robbie is too.
Yes.
There you go. And also, a big shout out to our buddy tonight, jumping in to pinch hit for co-hosting, Chef Robbie Prado, an amazing chef, even better person, even though he doesn't like to admit that. And he's also, for those of you who don't know, he actually is a former tag team champion at AIDS Quarter. I'm just throwing it out there. If you don't know what that is, Google it.
Yes. It's not as much fun solo.
It's not. It's hard to be a tag team champion when you're solo.
Right. I was tagging myself. You know, I had two beers going. It was not the same without you.
Damn. All right. Well, we'll have to make that happen again for sure. So anyway, guys, again, please rate, review, and subscribe to this program. It does great things for the algorithm. We appreciate all the downloads. We're getting record downloads on the show, man. It's just so humbling. That's why it's so important to me to do it. So we thank you guys all very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember that food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Robbie, big shout out to you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Shout out to Rev Ciancio. We'll see you guys next week. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Peace.
Good night, bud.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.